Please pray with me. Precious Lord, I seek only to do your will, Lord, that your words would inspire my brothers and sisters to live as you would have them live, to live as Jesus taught us. Help us, Lord, every day to listen to your word, to preach and evangelize your word, and to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, there was a policeman got behind a vehicle, and he wasn't real sure about this vehicle. And then he saw another vehicle that decided it needed to be in front of this other vehicle first. So we see this a lot on the parkway where we all drive like maniacs until we get to the uphill Squirrel Hill tunnels where we ride the brakes all the way going uphill. I don't know why. But anyway, people zoom in and out of traffic there, you know, and this policeman's behind this vehicle, and first car cuts the second car off, and that person is nice enough to tell the person behind them that they're number one. And we all know what that looks like. So this policeman starts to get a little concerned about this. He's thinking, wait a minute. If this car has a Christian bumper sticker, obviously that wouldn't be a Christian doing that. Maybe this car is stolen. So he decides, you know what? Let's just see this. So he pulls the guy over, and he walks up, and this gentleman gives him a very rough time. At first, he says, do you have your license? He says, well, I don't know. When he thought, well, if this guy's a Christian, of course he would be going by the rules of the road. So he said, do you have the owner's card to this vehicle? He says, no, I forgot it. So now he's really starting to think maybe he's right here, that this is a stolen vehicle. So finally he goes back and he runs a plate on it, and he comes back up and he says, well, I do see this is your vehicle. And the guy says, you seem surprised at that? He says, well, I saw the Christian bumper sticker, and then I evaluated the way you were driving. He says, I obviously thought the car was stolen. So let us remember that when we drive. You know, the Lord speaks to all of us preachers and teachers and lay speakers and pastors. And sometimes he gives us sermons that I'm thinking, no, not me. So today's sermon is on humility. Something that other than fasting, I don't think I can go past fast enough in the Bible. And I think all of us are that way. Fasting? Whew, no. Humility? Whew, no. There has to be something better in this book. Some way that God gives me something. And that's us. We open this book and we think, there has to be something in here for me. Something that makes me feel good. Something that says God's going to give me something. Somehow, some way. Well, I think that happened. We're not the first ones like that. We think that we're inventing history. Nah, we're just repeating history. God cares about our reflections to the world. And our witness to the world represents him in the world. So humility is actually something Christians should have. That's one of the toughest lessons we learn. Humility, patience. Yeah, those are the toughies. Fasting, yeah, we can always work our way around that. We can all eat fish on Lent and call that the fast. We can make that work. But these are a little tougher. So let's see what the, if you don't know what to preach on a subject, go to the Bible, stick real close to the scriptures. That way you don't get in trouble. Because then it becomes Jesus' opinion, God's opinion, and not your opinion. Matthew, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes. It says that when Jesus went up on the mountain, he went there to teach, not to preach. So he wanted to teach the crowds that were following him. And as I got into it a little bit in Sunday school, everyone started to follow Jesus at this time for a reason. Some of them thought that he was the Messiah. He was the one that was going to rescue them from the Romans. The Zealots thought he was the best thing. He was going to be the leader of the revolution. Many people thought, hey, if I have someone sick, I can bring them to Jesus. That's what I can get from him. Everybody thought they were going to get something. But when Jesus sat down and said, blessed are the poor in spirit, actually that translates to blessed are the humble. Can you imagine? As Jesus said the Beatitudes, it seemed that the crowd would start to thin out a little bit because these people saw that, you know what? Maybe he's not the leader of this revolution. Maybe he's not the person who's going to give me bread forever. Maybe he's not the person who's going to do this for me. You know what? We all come expecting, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but what Jesus was saying is, as the scripture tells us, to be the greatest in the kingdom is to be the servant of all. That's what he told his disciples. It's the same thing he tells us. Don't expect God to give you something. Expect to give God something. When Nicodemus came to the Lord, he said, how can I get to heaven? He said, believe in me. But here we see the Lord using the word blessed. The word blessed translates to happy. You can get to heaven. Or you can get to heaven with stars, what we call stars in the crown. It's up to you. Depends on what you do here. And we sit here and think when Jesus says we should serve him and serve God, well, then we automatically think, well, I'm pretty good at being a trustee, so I'll help fix the church. Or I'm pretty good at cooking, so I'll cook breakfast for the church. Or I'll do something for the church or something for someone. We don't think the way God thinks, and it's a good thing. I think Jesus was a little deeper in what he was telling his people, telling the people there on the mountain that day. To serve God, we must love one another. His disciples asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He didn't say, use your talents to do something. He didn't say, use your talents for the church. He didn't say, enrich the church. He didn't say, build a building. He didn't say, evangelize. He said, love one another. He could have said a lot of things. He looked at Peter. He waited till after he was resurrected to talk to Peter about building the church. He said, let's get first things first. I'm leaving. I'm not coming back for a while. You'll be alone. Love one another. This is the one thing I want you to remember. In Isaiah 56, it says, blessed is the man who keeps righteousness and justice. Isaiah wrote 900 years before the Lord appeared. You know, Jesus was trying to tell the people, like I said, to love one another. That was the whole message of the church. That was it. That's the message he was trying to convey. If you love me, you will treat one another correctly. You will treat them with justice. You will treat them with righteousness. You will thirst for righteousness. You will thirst for justice. You will see the poor oppressed, and you will feel something for them. That's what he wanted from us. He didn't want us to just go build a church. He wanted us to love one another. You know, that's very hard in today's society. Humility and loving one another are total opposites of what this world teaches. This world teaches whoever dies with the most toys wins. Go for all you can go for. No, that ain't what Jesus taught. And like I said, he went a little deeper when he said those words on the Sermon on the Mount. It says in Mark, it says, anyone who desires to be first should be last. That makes absolutely no sense in today's world. But that's what the Lord's trying to teach us. The Lord doesn't want cheerleaders. He doesn't want bench warmers. He wants people who get in the game, who are part of the ministry. No matter what the ministry, no matter what church they serve, is like he told the disciples, if they are for us, how can they be against us? The disciples came to him and said, Lord, they heal in your name. But he said, why not? As long as they're doing good, they're showing that they love one another. Isaiah says in 55:12, it says, this is God's promise to those who will serve him. Now, these are words to live by. This is what happens when we do what the Lord tells us. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth into singing before you, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. God will open the floodgates of heaven for you, but he expects you to show love to one another for it. God sees our good works and he blesses us for them. He's not saying that you won't get to heaven. He's just saying you're going to have a great time here getting there, because blessed means happy. Matthew 6:19 says, store up your treasures in heaven. And it says, pray for those who persecute you. Believe there's a reward for your actions. Let me get my paper straight here. So that leaves us with, what do we do with this? It's easy to hear. It's easy to preach. Okay. Bring this down to earth. You know, if someone cuts you off on the parkway in a vehicle, you know what? Okay, here we go. Love them. That's a tough one. Oh, yeah, that horn is right there, ain't it? Yeah, it is. What would Jesus do? He would realize that maybe God's just trying to make you a better driver by avoiding the accident. And maybe you should pray for that person who cut you off and say, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that a very familiar saying? Our Lord said the same thing about us. If the Romans knew that they were fulfilling God's plan, they would have never crucified the Lord. They would have done everything to protect him. But there it is. God uses things for his purpose. You know, if you're in the 7-Eleven and it's 7 o'clock in the morning and you're on the way to work and someone gets in front of you, takes that last jelly donut. Ooh, we're serious now. Because we got the coffee and we're on the way to work and we got a half hour to eat this donut. So what do? Do we pray that our brother enjoys that donut? Yes. Yes, we do. We pray that our brother enjoys that donut. And we look at them and say, forgive them, Lord, for taking that last donut. Because, right, I didn't need it anyway. And believe me, they don't know that I was eyeballing that donut. So they didn't do it intentionally. They just happened to be the next person in line. What I'm saying here is our attitude towards people can really change the way we live. We can be judgmental of people or we can help people. You know what? Hate and judgment is not getting anyone to heaven. There's only one way we're getting to. We're getting them to heaven and we're getting us to heaven. And you have to stop and think here, is that one moment of judgment worth an eternity in heaven? Is it worth telling God that everything you've done, I'm going to bring it to this moment and say, nope, that person did this to me. I have to make a tit for tat. I have to get something out of this. That person has done me wrong. That person has done something I feel is wrong. So I got to get something out of this. God says, no, you don't have to get anything out of this. Because you know what? You screw up just as bad as they do. You can't come here Sunday morning and say, yeah, I'm going to forgive everybody in the world. And then go out there and not forgive everybody. Because then you're a liar. I'm terrible at it, just like you are. But you know what? It never fails. As soon as the situation presents itself, the angel comes here, the devil comes here, and they both start talking to me. Hopefully the Holy Spirit in this sermon has helped us a little bit. When someone wrongs you, pray for that person. You've just turned a negative into a positive. And God sees this, and he will reward you for it. You may end up 3 spaces ahead of that person in the Squirrel Hill tunnels. You never know. But anyway, it's nice to, you know, talk about biblical times and things that happened years ago. But let me bring this one home to you. Let me put this in today's perspective. Say Pastor Jeff is sitting home on Saturday night, and he's going through the mail, and he happens to see a bishop's coupon. $7.99 for a large pizza. And Cheryl's already in bed. No one's more deserving of a $7.99 pizza than me. That's what he thinks. So as he calls bishops, the young man on the other end of the phone explains to him, "Well, Pastor Jeff, we only have enough dough for one pizza, and there's two of you on the phone line right now. So I don't know what to do, but the other gentleman did call first." Immediately, the angel and the devil appear on Jeff's shoulders. So, Jeff being a pastor, the devil says, "Tell him you're a preacher. It'll make a difference." Intimidating. There it is. But the angel says, "Wait a minute, Jeff. Maybe this is not a good idea. You know, you shouldn't be eating a pizza this late anyway." There's the dilemma. And you know what? We all face these dilemmas. So Pastor Jeff, being the good Christian he is, he says, "You know what? Let that other person have that pizza." Being the good guy he is. So after he hangs up the phone, the Holy Spirit prompts Jeff and says, "Wait a minute, Jeff. It's only 11 o'clock. Iola's is open till 1 in the morning." The light comes on. See, this young lady walks into Iola's pizzeria and she gives the chef a tip at 12 o'clock. And he is so happy to get this tip that he's just overjoyed. And then he gets a call from Pastor Jeff about a pizza. So he's so happy, he just really puts the toppings to this pizza. The moral of the story here is, as it gets delivered to Jeff's house, Jeff got a better pizza in the end because he did God's will. Like I said, it's. I hope you enjoyed the story. Believe me, it came from him. But what I'm trying to say is the Lord came to us and said, "If you want to serve me, love my people. You know, and I will reward you." Believe me, if you pray for another person, if you help another person along the way, then the Lord will reward you. Everything he's promised, he's always come through on. But this was a teaching moment for the Lord to teach the crowds that followed him. And he was telling them that, "I'm not going to give you anything that you don't earn. But I'm going to give you things beyond this world. Not the things of this world." The crowd had a hard time understanding it, but the believers stayed. And that's where we're at today as a church. The world's doing its thing, but the believers stay faithful. I read a quote this week, and I'd like to leave you with it. "Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust." Please pray with me. Precious Lord, humility is something we're not very good at. We'll all admit it, Lord. We want to be first. We want what we want. We want everything that you can give us. But Lord, you tell us you will give us everything if we give away as much as we can on this earth. Be with us, Lord, as we try to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
You gotta remember, I'm coming up here after you, brother. couple of points of interest. First off, I always have a strategic reserve of pizza. Second, it's never too late to wake Cheryl up to have her make it. Okay. Regarding traffic, I view it this way. Repentance is a major part of forgiveness. And my horn is a signal to repent. That's it's my spiritual duty to. Wayne's right, I'm wrong. Okay. Honestly, brother, what a great message. One could actually argue that we are here on this earth to be humbled. That is our entire purpose, and you can gauge your love by your humility, and wow, the two are connected, and it just tells me how far yet I have to go, and thank you very much.